Hey, what up, podcast community? This week on the show, we have the herbal chef, a good friend, Chris Sae. He has been, in my opinion, there's a lot of people out there that have been trying to do cannabis and infused cuisine. But Chris has been a pioneer in this space more so than anybody else. And I feel like with his background, having more of an understanding in chemistry and deeply thinking about how it affects the body, is more qualified than really pretty much anybody out there that I know. He's a smart guy. He's got big ideas, and we really have enjoyed working with him over the years. Everything from dinners to private events, and even we did an exploratory cooking class in Los Angeles just last year. So this week, we wanted to talk to him about how this pandemic has caused him to rethink and recalibrate his whole business model, like so many of us, to really kind of get ready for what's next. What does it look like post-pandemic? And what role does cannabis play in that new time? Chris Ryloff, our corporate chef with Rosenel Collective, and Rachel Barnett, the sous chef at Rosenel Events based in Atlanta, had the opportunity to talk with him. So let's dig in. I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks.
So you're still living in the same place or you moved?
No, I just packed up all my stuff and moved everything into storage because I'm going to go on this trip for a while. And I'm going to see what happens. I don't know yet I'm going to live or how things are going to change. But I've moved the Herbal Chef platform to online so that I can like at least earn money online, and then everything else is kind of up in the air. I'm just trying to figure it out.
So we actually saw that you released one of the a digital book, an ebook. I don't remember, it was something about like quarantine or something like that, but
yeah,
I guess it was that was one of the reasons to move a little bit to the online e-format so you can monetize something, like, I mean, putting all your experience to put it somewhere to get something out of it. I mean, we were talking with Rich before about how difficult it has to be for all of you. I mean, for all of you, meaning we just did a podcast a couple of weeks ago with Vicky, who is a private chef too. You are in the kind of like, you're a private chef too, and mostly doing events around the world, not just US. And it's messed up everywhere right now. So it's kind of like, so what are they doing right now? And you just said, I mean, Vicky, for example, she's almost launching a protein bar, and you released the book, and I don't know what else you have on mind.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of edibles are coming out right now that I've been consulting on. And so that's really, it's just consulting and the online ebook and then the meal bags, because now the CDC has released a statement for any school district, any food and beverage service, that everybody has to get it in an atmospheric conditioned case or serving vessel. And then it also has to be a single serving. So these bags are literally perfect for it. So we're really we're like creating distribution channels right now with it.
That's great. And actually, now that you said that too, it's kind of like perfect timing. I mean, we know because you were working also with Rich about those bags, and it's kind of like perfect timing for like everyone is trying to do something from home and selling it. So why not using these bags that you're going to be able to pack it, at the same time reduce the plastic consumption from everyone else? Because it's not like you have to pack it, then open it, trash the bag, put in another container, put it inside of the oven. You minimize all that garbage, and at the same time, it's going to become something that is going to be eco for the environment. So I think that was great. And if you say that that's doing great for schools and everything, all of those kind of venues, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it really brings up the other thing too, which is when Rich and I were discussing an online course, which is, you know, something that we're now going to consider, like we might even be able to accomplish now because things have slowed down enough to where we can actually put things into action.
Those
type of things now, I think, like if I could have an online course, which people keep asking me for still daily, and then if we can have a meal bag solution, as we do, a recipe book, and then I can keep doing content, then I think that I have enough there to keep us afloat as all this gets figured out.
Yeah, I at the same time, I think is, I mean, looking from the standpoint of being optimistic with the entire pandemic situation, it was kind of like the last kick that many people needed to push themselves. And one of those projects that you said, the bags, and at the same time that you just mentioned the online classes, online courses, for many companies, schools, universities, and all of them, that they were really denial at the time that they have to jump into something online. But right now it's like everyone is like, you have no option. Otherwise you're going to, at the end of the day, you're going to run out of business. Right. So I think that's great. And we are actually, Rich is going to start filming pretty soon, probably next week or next couple of weeks, because we're going to move everything to the online platform.
Oh, really?
And I mean, that's one of the projects that we have from before, but like I just said, I mean, we needed probably that last push to say like, okay, now is the time. Every time we were like, yeah, probably we should do it. But we were never like probably certain about doing it. And now it's like, if we don't do it, I mean, we have many other venues and like different ways of surviving. Reach, I mean, the entire project with Roots, the restaurant that we have in Leesburg, Virginia, they have to remake the entire menu. And they're doing great. I mean, at the same time, it's like everything is going to start to go back to, I don't want to call it normal, because I think that there is not going to be the same as before as we call normal, because it's going to be a different reality for everyone. But they remake the menu. They are doing different kind of like containers and pick up orders and delivery and all of those different, like what they have to do.
Right. And I mean, this is part of the whole bag solution, right? That's why I worked on this for hospitals originally. That's how I got into this whole world. And then now it made sense for me to use it in the restaurant industry. But now what we're trying to do is set up, like imagine Rosendale Collective, right? And you guys can produce mass amounts of meals and then sell them to Whole Foods. And you have your own section in the freezer, and all somebody has to do at any of these, when they're going into the, freezer aisle or the fridge aisle, is go to the Rosendale section. And then there's all, whatever meals that you guys decide to do. And then they grab them for however many people they have in their home. They bring them, they can store them in the freezer and then heat them up when they're ready, or they bring it, they put it into the oven, and then there's no prep, no cleanup, no nothing. You just open the bag, you put it on a plate, and then you're done and you have a hot meal. And it's from a restaurant, it's from a professional chef, rather than what we're getting in, like, you know, right now we're competing with lean cuisine, and there's like all these, you know, nobody wants that type of food anymore. They want real food. They want it made by somebody who knows what they're doing, and they want it to be local. They want it to be sustainable, and they want it to be healthy and still taste good, which is, you know, completely fair. And that is what good food is. So I feel like, you know, the whole landscape of how all of this is going to change is quite, you know, considerable. I think that there's going to be a lot more chef and restaurant deals made with grocery stores. And I think that the connector here are these, you know, these bags that you can pop into the oven. And that's where, like, that's why I think that this is really important, like over on a bigger scale of everything.
Correct. And I mean, at the same time, probably Rachel can talk a little bit about that. In Atlanta, we have what is Rosendale Events. That is a venue that is mainly for events. I mean, of course, the word, he just said it. But besides that, there is Rosendale Delivery. What is like take out orders and delivery. And like, if you want to, I don't know, I have a party this weekend with just my family, but you want to order like a great pizza or like a great sous vide chicken or something like THC infused, that would be great. I mean, to use them over there, that venue in Atlanta is, I think it's 120,000 square feet. Rachel, can you talk a little bit about that? And maybe that would be a great partner for the banks.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, it's funny that you mentioned that before you step in, Rachel, but we've literally gotten so many people wanting drop-off THC meals. And so we started to figure out how to do it at scale because we're just getting a lot of demand. We probably, a couple weekends ago, we had 20 people sign up for a 3-course meal. And then we have even more signing up. It's without an operation like Rosendale, it's a bit more difficult, but there's definitely demand for all of this. Sorry, Rachel.
No, you're fine. Yeah, as far as in Atlanta or in Georgia, it's cannabis isn't legal yet.
Right.
So I'm not sure
how cannabinoids are. So you could do CBD. You could do CBG. You could do all the different microcannabinoids that are incredible for healing properties.
Right. Just not THC. Yeah. All right. But yeah, I mean, I think there would be a huge market for that in Atlanta. Like deliveries and drop-offs, and you know, we see a lot of that in the surrounding Atlanta area as well, people wanting carry out. And I haven't seen too much as far as people wanting infused meals in the city. I'm not, maybe that's just because it's not there yet.
Well,
you know what I mean.
I mean, I think that it's more likely that you're not associated with it. So why would they ask you?
True.
I think that if we were to, because Rich and I were very close to announcing a partnership in the with the classes, and we're still like, you know, there. That's not something that's just going to go away. But if we were to announce that, and then all of a sudden, Rich Rosendale could take on the Rosendale Events, Rosendale Collective could take on cannabis related items due to our SOPs, then you guys would start to get those calls. I guarantee it, because there's a reason that we have to go everywhere all over the world for it, because people want it everywhere. It's not just in Southern California. It's not just in New York City. It's not just in Florida. It's literally in every single state, in every country. It's everywhere. I think that, you know, it's just about association.
So Chris, talking a little bit about your brand, how you feel that it was, I mean, how hard was positioning your brand before, now during the pandemic, and how you think it's going to look if there is an after, how you think it's going to look after this entire crisis? And beside that, also thinking about like, how is the climate in Los Angeles because of all the protests? I mean, we know it's not over there only. I would say that it's in the major cities around US, but how you think that positioning your brand is gonna be, if it's gonna be difficult or not after this, and how it's looking right now, like during the pandemic?
I mean, you know, before this happened, we were looking at the biggest year to date that we were gonna have. Like, it was, we had huge events lined up, like all, you know.
NRA was coming.
Exactly. And I was going to get to that in a second.
We like, know that.
But like, we had huge events coming up, right? Where it was, you know, 50 people at the minimum. And we had 250 people, 200 people events lined up as well. And that's just in the first half of the year. By May, we were going to have our biggest year to date by May.
Wow.
And So by June, I would have been, you know, I like, it would have been an incredible, like on top of the world type of situation where I felt like we were hitting our stride. And on top of that, we had the National Restaurant Association, which obviously you and Rich were going to be at because right. you were one of our featured chefs, where they had taken me on as the cannabis czar. And I was going to build out and be responsible for the entire programming and the entire build out of the cannabis section of the National Restaurant Show.
And yeah, I remember
never
that.
Never before been done, never before been allowed. And the first year that it's allowed, we partnered on something so monumental that was it was going to change the face of cannabis and food and beverage for years to come. I mean, that was what was happening. We had Brad Kilgore. We had Tim Hollingsworth. We had Bill Kim. Like it was, and of course, Rich Rosendale and yourself. And like, that was heartbreaking to me because I had worked for years getting it to this point. And then it's just like, boink.
I still remember reading all of those emails. And then when this just blew up and we were like lucky that from Atlanta, they made it to Cater Source, one of the biggest event for event venues in Vegas. And then we were already thinking, okay, now we have to blow up the NRA show. And we were like literally programming that, like, what are we gonna do? We need to talk to Chris. And can we do something like this and something like that? And then that happened. It was like just, it was just catastrophic. I mean, it wasn't just, I mean, probably for us, it was, I can say like it was something big, but you just said it. For you, it was something monumental. It was just bad. And how you think that, I mean, looking from, I thinking that is like optimistic. You think that the NRA show is going to be possible next year? How you think that is going to end up like looking? Because if you're not going to be able to gather that amount of people, it's kind of like
financially
challenging.
Viable.
Right.
So I am a bit more pessimistic about it than I'm like a serial optimist. You can't find me with not a smile on my face. But the truth of the matter is, I think people are being conditioned to be fearful of interacting with people. And that is not the way human life was meant to be. Like the way that our brain is structured, the way that our bodies are structured, the way that our psyche is structured is to interact with other human beings and to be in close proximity. We are a herd group. We work together. There is power in that. And there is freedom in that. And right now we are being conditioned to be scared of being next to one another. Right. And I think that as long as this conditioning is going on, then we won't have things like NRA show anymore. And we won't have things, not indefinitely, but I think that what's going to happen is that they're going to require some sort of certification or identification where, okay, you know, you can only go here if you've gotten your vaccinations or you've gotten your whatever it is that they're mandating, then that's the only time that you can go in there.
Right. That's is
the grocery store, the like concerts, NRA show, Cater Store, any one of them, it's going to be, you have to have a mask and you have to have your identification. And as long as we're in that state of mind where we think that is the only way to avoid viruses, which is absolutely asinine, then I think that NRA show is not going to be the same. And I think that a lot of these big, expos are going to be hurting because it relies on the fact that people want to come together and showcase what they've been working on. And when you take the ability and the excitement away from that, then it hurts the entire industry in an indescribable way.
Yeah, it's inimaginable. It's just that you're not going to be able to think how it's going to look. So I have something like a crazy idea about like how you can start changing all of those things. that I dropped it to Rich actually about the classes. So what do you think that, like, just think as crazy as you can. I know that we always said, all of us, we are always crazy. But yeah, how you think you can make NRA show, like, not thinking that it's not going to happen. How can you make it happen? What would you do?
I would like to see a expo that is really chef driven, and that's about like the culinary arts. And so I think that, but not just with chefs, but with creatives of all, like multimedia digital creatives, with artists, with all sorts of different stuff, all sorts of different style, but all relating to food and culture. And so if NRA allowed me to, which they did, they were, if they would have allowed me to continue with it all, the next year, and like what I had planned, I had a 5-year plan set up for the NRA show that I proposed to them. And it was that each year we'd be incorporating all of these different chefs, all of the different multimedia, all the different artists, and get together in essentially a playground. I want this to be like a festival for people that love the culinary arts, that love right. food. I want you to be able to walk through something and be able to grab, you know, pieces of food off of this inflatable, you know, maze. And then, and it was created by artists and chefs. And so all of a sudden you have something as you're in a certain part of the maze, you're walking through, and then you grab a part that was also paired with the particular part of the maze that you're in.
Right.
So you're eating food that is, and you're smelling things, and you're having the artist's visuals around you. You're having sound, a fully formed experience. And I think something like a creative, you know, multimedia festival that is based solely in food and culture, I think is where I could see us coming back together in something really unique and something really special. Even if NRA show doesn't happen again, I think that there is a yearning for people to want to do, to be creative together always. And right. I think that in the chef community, in the culinary community and food and beverage, that is why we do what we do. So we can go to the parties. We can go and get amazing food. We can go and get amazing drinks. And I think that bringing everybody together in a creative capacity, it sparks so much more than just an expo. And it sparks so much more than, I don't even know if that like specifically answered your question, but I am just, you know, thinking outside the box as you ask.
I mean, I love what you just said, because it's like, it's what we do. It's what we do and what we really love to do and to be doing for probably long time period. Yeah. It's just that in the time, sometimes like people get lost about that and they stop caring about what they're doing. So I think that what you just said is great. Rachel, do you have any questions?
I signed me up for that festival because that would be awesome. I mean, like I'm picturing it all now, and that would be so cool to have just everybody showcasing what they can do creatively in an environment like that. Yeah. I think that would be awesome.
God. I mean, yeah, I'm just imagining like Burning Man 2.0.
Right.
Burning yeah. food.
So, Chris, right. just to probably end the conversation with two more questions. So what are you thinking to do to, I mean, your brand is already positioned out there. Pretty much everyone knows who you are. How do you think that your brand is going to look after this? We know that you already said about the bags and about the ebook that we're going to try to add the link so people can have access and they can purchase the book. And the link is going to direct to your website. So that's going to be great.
Perfect.
But what else do you have in mind? What else are you thinking to do in the next couple of months?
So I would like to see, really, I'm going to be focusing on the bags. I'm going to be focusing on the content that we're creating because of the road trip. I want to be able to like bring in, you know, chefs and stuff from prominent areas. And I want to be cooking with the elements. It's really important to me. I mean, and I know you guys do live fire cooking all the time, and that's something that I really do love to do. So I want to be using live fire cooking. I want to be able to bring, you know, more consciousness into the story of what we're doing and why we're doing it, and a bit more context. So I'm going to be creating a lot of content. And then, you know, like we're right now, we're talking with Earnox about different ways that we can incorporate with them as well. So there's like a lot of different brands that we want to be able to work with. There's a lot of different content that we want to make. And then really, I'm hoping that we can get on the education in the next few months here of, you know, how to build that out into a bigger platform. Because I think that content creation and education are going to be huge pillars of what we continue to do.
I agree. We, again, a couple of podcasts ago, we have a conversation with Vaughn Tan, who is a professor, is assistant professor of Harvard University. And yeah. He was telling us that, and also with Daniel Preacher, who is the R&D chef at the FatDuck. And we asked, like, what do you think that people should do with this situation, like to get something out of it? And it's just what you said. I mean, create content. This time is probably for us, for our generation, is not going to happen again. If you don't do it now, then whenever you try to go back to work, you're not going to have the time that you are having like right now, yeah. Today. That's one of the most important thing. How is the situation in LA? How is everything looking from the like all the problems that we are having around US and looking to reopen the city?
So currently, I mean, I don't know if you've seen my stories or anything, but like right outside my apartment are the protests. Like I take the elevator down and then I'm in the protest.
I saw that when you posted.
Yeah. So it's like right on 9th and Broadway. It's crazy. There's thousands of people and the energy is really strong. There's a lot of people that genuinely want change. I think that overall there is a bit of like, you know, misunderstanding and misdirection of what people really want.
Right.
Because right now it seems like we're focusing on the symptom rather than the root cause of, right. of our issues. So until we deal with like the deep embedded corruption in our political, economic, educational infrastructure, then the symptoms can't go away because we're not dealing with the actual root of the problem. But it's weird downtown right now because all these places are boarded up. You walk around town and all the glass around town is boarded up. So people are, it's not being taken lightly. And there is just a ton of, you know, fear in the air right now too. And there's a ton of racial divide and there's a ton of, it's a weird, weird time to be in LA for sure. But I think the whole world right now is waking up to the fact that there is, there's just been severe mistreatment of people, mainly economic disenfranchised people.
Right.
And like, and I think that is what is happening right now is just people are waking up to the fact that everyone's being bullied. Like, you know, when you look at the simple fact that the 500 wealthiest people in the entire world, billionaires, grew their wealth by 25% in this 4-month span. I mean, you can't deny that there's looting going on, but I think that is the biggest one.
That's the biggest one. I was going to say that. I agree with you. Thank you very much for taking the time. And Rachel, I don't know if you want to add anything else.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you. And on your trip, if you pass through Atlanta, let us know. And our kitchen is not necessarily open, but we'd open the doors for you.
You made great pasta.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
You made really like great Italian food. So just go there and tell them that you're going because Chris told you. That's it. All right, amazing. Chris. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
All right. Cheers.
Bye-bye.